Class is in session. You're listening to Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horshick.
Let's go!
Now, let's start the show.
Podcast listeners, thank you so much for checking out today's show. This is episode 43 of the Squat University podcast. The goal with each and every one of these shows is to bring you as much value-packed content to help you move better in the gym and in life, decrease your body's aches and pains, and help you reach your true athletic potential. Now, before we get started with today's show, I wanted to remind you guys again about the Squat U Club. If you are not following me on Instagram, I'm doing a daily giveaway of my time to helping someone fix their broken technique, take the first steps in dealing with an injury, or just helping those who win in any way that I can. I already spend a few hours every single day in the DMs talking with people, but I still get hundreds every single day that I just can't get to. So this club is a way for me to try to connect with one more person each and every day than I usually do and help them with whatever I can. So far, I think we've done 80 posts in a row, and some of the improved lifts from the interactions with these athletes that have won have been already made into content with you guys that you've already seen. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed those so far, and some of the help that I have given these athletes could also help you with the issues that you are having. So how do you win and be a part of the Squat U Club? Here's the deal. As soon as I make a post on Instagram each and every day, like, comment on the post as fast as possible with hashtag Squat U Club, and I pick one person each day, reach out to them that night, and we get to work on whatever you need. So to make sure you are first in line each and every day for this, make sure you turn on your post notifications so you get a little reminder as soon as a post goes live each and every day. So with that being said, let's get to today's content. Today, I want to talk about one of the most important factors in maintaining technique whenever we are lifting heavy weight that most people don't really think about, or they think they're doing it properly and they're not really doing it properly, and that's just breathing. You know, in order to maintain the integrity of our posture and technique when we squat with a heavy barbell, whenever we're doing a heavy deadlift, a clean or a snatch, we need to do something a little differently than what we would do if we are performing the same lift with extremely light weight. A barbell, especially a loaded barbell, places a higher demand on our body to stabilize our trunk. And in order to meet those demands, we need to find a different way to increase stability, more so than just tightening and bracing our core. So a stable core is the platform from which we perform the efficient and powerful movements that allow us to move these big weights. Dr. McGill, Stuart McGill, I've had him on the show before, renowned back expert, put it something like this: proximal stability enhances distal mobility in athleticism. So what are we talking about? Proximal means closer to the midline of your body, closer to the middle. Proximal stability, so the more stable we can make our core, enhances distal, so a far away from there, so your hips or your shoulders are distal to your core, enhances distal mobility and athleticism. So what this means is that the more stable we can make our core, the better our hips and shoulders will move, and the more powerful we can become in our lifts. So let's take a quick second and talk about the concept of stability. The quality of our movement during every single one of our barbell lifts is directly dictated by how stable we can maintain our trunk. Now, a bare spine without any muscles, without any ligaments, is nothing but a stack of bones, your vertebral bones. Without the continuous collaboration of all the muscles that surround the trunk, I think there's like 29 different pairs of them, and all the fascia that holds them together, the weight of our upper body alone, like your head, would be enough to actually collapse your spine. So we understand that we need more stability to support our spine, which is going to then help us have better technique. But often we find that athletes and coaches go about trying to improve core stability in a way that's less efficient. We see athletes think they can improve trunk stability through exercises such as sit-ups, GHD sit-ups, hyperextensions, Roman chair exercises, maybe even Russian twists. In reality, those movements build isolated muscular strength through movement, not stability. There's a big difference between strength and stability. Strength is the ability to produce force. The harder you can push or pull a weight, the stronger your muscles are. Stability is the ability to resist movement at one part of your body while movement takes place around it. A stable spine resists being bent in two by massive weight of the barbell that we're putting on our back or whatever we're trying to lift. So strengthening a stabilizer, such as the abdominal muscles with a crunch or the low back with a hyperextension, will not cause necessarily those muscles to stabilize more effectively. There's a lot of research that goes into this, and they've taken some people that have done stability exercises like the McGill Big Three. We talked about this, you know, in depth a couple of podcast episodes ago. They've taken some people that have done more of the classical movement strength exercises like your crunches and whatnot. And then at the end, they sort of tested their ability to stabilize against an uneven force. And they found that those that only did the strength exercises through movement had no better ability to stabilize their spine. Core stability is the synchronous action of the abdominal muscles on the front, the back, the sides, the pelvic girdles, the diaphragm, the surrounding fascia. All those muscles and fascia surrounding have to work together. When they do work together to keep the spine in a safe position, we are able to move really well and produce a ton of power. So the essence of stability comes down to two things: timing and coordination. In order to recruit our core muscles prior to, let's say, a squat, we use a cue brace for a punch. That's one of my favorite ones. This action increases the stability of our entire core, and it locks it into a good neutral position. We turn on these muscles prior to the descent of the squat. We properly prepare our body to handle the load that we're trying to carry. So whenever you get under the bar, you walk it out. I love using the cue. Brace for a punch, you're going to turn all those muscles on, you're going to increase the stability of your core, then you're going to squat. However, it's not enough to only brace for a squat, especially the heavier and heavier weight you're trying to lift. If you want to move massive weights in a safe manner, you must also learn how to breathe properly. For far too long, professionals in the strength and medical field have failed to incorporate proper breathing during lifts. If you think about it like this, a lot of strength and conditioning professionals, medical professionals, have addressed the core almost like the outside of a balloon. They've tried to strengthen the outside rubber wall of the balloon instead of learning how to increase the pressure within the balloon. Now, here's something that you've probably heard before. Breathe in on the way down and breathe out on the way up. I think almost every single one of us that have come up in the strength and conditioning game or the fitness world have heard that before in a recommendation for how you're supposed to breathe whenever you are doing any type of exercise. Now, this is fine maybe if you're doing extremely lightweight. Maybe if you're doing a bench press for a set of 10 and it's extremely light, you know, you can breathe in on the way down, breathe all the way out on the way up. However, this is not recommended when you're trying to perform a heavier lift, a squat, a deadlift, a snatch, a clean. Can you imagine what would happen to a powerlifter if he walked out with 1,000 pounds, he breathed in on the way down, and then on his way up, he's just letting all his air out? It would crush him. When we're trying to do a heavy lift, especially anything over 80%, we have to understand how to breathe a little bit differently. You want to take that large breath in and you want to hold it. Now, usually this type of breathing is not needed for extremely light lifting. It's because there's a lower demand placed on our core to maintain technique. But as that weight rises that you are trying to lift, you also need to rise your level of core stability to meet those demands of the lift in order to maintain technique, in order to also continue to produce the power to make the lift happen. So we have to do something that's a little bit different. So what I like to do is that you are taking a big breath and then you're mixing it with that cue, brace for a punch. In doing so allows us to dramatically stabilize our core. Now, try this test at home, wherever you are listening to this, in the car. Make sure you're stopped. You're going to place one hand on your stomach and then you're going to place your other hand on the side. You're near your lower ribs, basically. You're going to take a big breath. And if you did that properly, now pretend like you've got a bar on your back. If you did that properly, you're going to feel your stomach rise and fall a little bit. Your rib cage is going to expand a little bit out to the side. Essentially, you're feeling the volume increase inside your core. When we take a big breath, the diaphragm, which is this thin, flappy piece of material, basically, I guess you'll say, between your lungs and your abdominal cavity, it contracts and it descends towards our stomach. Now, if you breathe in properly, you'll notice that your chest only is going to rise and fall. you'll see some people, they'll get under the bar and they'll take a big breath, but only their chest will rise and fall. It's not as efficient because we're not necessarily using our diaphragm as efficiently as we can to increase intra-abdominal cavity pressure. So why is this rise so important? When we breathe correctly and we use the cue into the stomach, we increase intra-abdominal cavity volume. And then when we brace on top of it, we increase intra-abdominal cavity pressure. This is because the volume can no longer expand. And when we do that in a step-by-step manner with that big breath and then the big brace, we create a ton of pressure. And this is what stabilizes our core to an even greater degree than bracing alone. Now, as a side note to that, when I say breathe into the stomach, you'll see some people that will take that cue and they'll just run with it. And they'll basically push their stomach out so far that it looks like they're pregnant. That's not what we're saying. We want to breathe into our stomach, but that doesn't mean that you just push your stomach out like you're, you know, having a baby. You want to maintain a little bit of a brace while you're doing this. We're just looking to expand into that abdominal cavity forward to the sides. Remember, we're making sure that we're also breathing laterally. We're also getting that a little bit of expansion into our lateral ribs. That's why you have your hand on the front side of your core and on the side of your core, because you should feel that expansion in a 360 degree manner. That is how you breathe correctly. We don't want to breathe all into the chest. We don't want to breathe all down to where we are pushing our stomach out. It is expanding our abdominal cavity and then bracing over the top. To experience the connection between pressure in your core and your overall strength, try it the next time you get under a bar. Put a barbell on your back, and now obviously just do this with just a barbell, but exhale all the air from your lungs. Feel for how heavy that bar is going to feel on your back. Then take a big breath, brace your core like Mike Tyson's going to jack you right in the stomach, create 360 degrees of pressure around your core as if you're wearing a tight corset, and then do your squat. Do you feel anything different? The weight of the bar should have felt much lighter that time. Basically, when we use this maneuver of big breath and then big brace, that is how the strongest powerlifters and weightlifters are able to move such tremendous weight without breaking in half. So you've taken that big breath, you've descended into the bottom on the way up. Your natural desire for most people, because of the way you've been taught all your life in the fitness world, is to exhale. I want you to fight that desire. What you want to do is force that breath to stay into your body, and you can maybe even let out a forced grunt. So you're going to slowly let it out. This is called the Valsalva maneuver. Basically, you're limiting your breath from escaping. Now, if we're looking in any medical book, you will see the Valsalva maneuver basically is an exhale, a forced exhale against a closed airway or glottis. What the heck does that mean? Basically, we are making sure that we're not letting our air out too quickly. If you do that normal way that you are taught, where you are exhaling all the way on the ascent, it's basically like you're letting the air out of a balloon too fast. If the air leaves the balloon, it becomes less stable. Now, the same goes for our body. If you let out only a small amount of air escaping through a very, very small hole, the balloon is able to maintain its stability, its pressure for much longer. So in order to increase the pressure in our abdomen and keep it there and our spinal stability intact, the exhale that you have on the way up must be forcefully stopped from escaping. Essentially, we keep fingers on the outside of the balloon and try to keep it from escaping. Now there's two different ways, or a couple different ways that you could do this. Some lifters, you'll hear them almost grunt on the way up. They may make a tss type of sound as they're slowly exhaling through small holes in their lips. Both those methods allow the pressure in the abdomen to stay high during the entirety of the lift. The breath should never be held for more than a couple seconds. So if you're doing multi-rep squats, you're not going to want to continue to hold your breath the entire time. You take that big breath, you hold it, then you squat down. On the way up, you slowly let it out, especially after the sticking point. That's a big thing. The sticking point, especially of a squat, is usually going to be a little bit past the halfway point of the ascent. That's where most people get stuck. If you let your breath out before that point, you are likely going to see a dramatic decrease in your intra-abdominal cavity pressure. That's where you're going to run into problems, because if you decrease that intra-abdominal cavity pressure, instantaneously your stability is going to be drained and your distal power and athleticism are also going to be hurt. You're basically going to run into a wall much quicker. So hold that breath until after you pass that sticking point of the ascent, then you can slowly let it out. You then need to take another breath at the top if you're doing more than one rep. If you hold it for more than one rep, you are risking different things. You're going to risk getting those blurry vision, you're going to risk blackouts or other cardiovascular injury. For that reason, if you have any issues, any cardiovascular issues, any issues with blood pressure, I would definitely use this with caution. Speak to your doctor before you attempt to use the Valsalva maneuver. Because there is a sharp increase in systolic and diastolic blood pressure whenever you're using the Valsalva maneuver when lifting heavy weights. But for healthy athletes without an increase or without a previous history of cardiovascular issues, there has been no research that has shown that using the Valsalva maneuver when lifting heavy weights puts that athlete at risk. You see this short-term rise in blood pressure that dramatically goes back to normal once the athlete is done lifting. Now, we just talked about for a multi-set squat at the top, you're going to rebreathe again, then squat again. What about for a deadlift? I think it's going to depend on your specific inclination to either way of breathing. I think most people, they set the bar down, they rebreathe, then they go again. Other athletes, I know last week I made a post with elite powerlifter Luke Richardson. He takes a big breath at the top, then goes down, picks up the barbell, and if he's doing, let's say, a set of five, I think he was doing a set of five at like 680 pounds, he takes another breath at the top while he's standing and then keeps that pressure high as he descends back down into the deadlift, lets the bar settle for a second, and then goes again into the next rep. Big reason for that, or a couple things noting for that, he is not completely letting his air out at the top. If you think about it, if your tidal volume, the amount of breath you have in your lungs, tops out at 100%. At the very top, he's letting maybe only the top 20% sort of in and out, like he's taking small little sips of air in and out to sort of top off and make sure he gets that air again. He's not letting it all the way go down to zero because he's holding 680 pounds. So all that stress instantaneously gets shifted to smaller parts of his spine if he completely lets his air out. Remember, we have the breath and the bracing, both of those need to be maximized in order to keep our spine safe. So whatever you feel comfortable with, understand that you both have to brace and you have to breathe correctly and hold it during those heavy lifts in order to maximize stability. So that is it for today's show. It's quick, it's to the point. This is probably one of the most vital pieces of technique help I give athletes that I see have issues with their squat, is they're not breathing properly. They're thinking about everything else. They're thinking about their feet. They're thinking about their hips, and how much weight's on the bar. And they forget, breathe, brace, squat. Or breathe, brace, lift the bar from the ground. When you combine those two actions and you maintain that huge stability that you just rose in your core, you're going to have a tremendously better lift than you were if you were only thinking about bracing before. If you watch the best athletes in the world, the best strength athletes, find them on Instagram, find them on YouTube, wherever you are, watch the way they're breathing. Sometimes we're looking so often at the smaller, finer technique points that we forget the basics, the fundamentals in how someone is creating stability before the barbell ever moves the ground or starts its descent in a squat. Breathe, brace, and then squat, you're going to have a much better lift. I hope you guys enjoyed today's quick Squat University podcast. I hope it could be beneficial for you. If you didn't know about this cue already, I've talked about it plenty of times before. Maybe it was a good refresher for you. Maybe it outlined some of the finer points that you could then help teach someone else. Remember, the best information is something that you don't keep to yourself. You spread and you help teach others. That's how we empower others and make the world a better place. I hope you guys enjoyed this show. Please continue to share it with your friends. And until next week, guys, happy squatting.
That's it for today, class, on Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horschig. For more exclusive content, log on to squatuniversity.com.